Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, May 6th, 2013. Happy Monday to you. Happy Monday to Al.
T-G-I-M.
T-G-I-M.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo! And first, let's get to right. We're going to get right to the market report today. We're going to be talking about many, many things today. Of course, we're going to be talking about gold and silver, finances. We're going to talk about the SEC suing Harrisburg. The government is suing or going to attempt to block, I should say, state laws, saying that Kansas law is unconstitutional when it comes to regulating guns. And we're going to be talking about the immigration, the cost. How much is it going to cost? I see Al has that already set up for us to talk about, but I saw a great report from the Heritage Foundation. It's about 106 pages. We're not going to go all over that, but very interesting. So if you folks have internet and you can get to that, please do so. But first, let's get to gold today. Gold, there's gold in them there hills. Gold, it tried to move up. It was stronger early morning trading, pretty much up about $1.1471. You have silver, $24.10, settled around $24 most of the day, down 13 pennies. Platinum up $4.1509, and you have palladium up two at $700. USDX today trading slightly higher, 0.21 at 82.31. And you also had crude oil up 11 cents today at 95.72. And the paper markets today, it looked like we might got a little bump out of those mining shares today. But So let's go to the paper markets. Uno momento here. Phone call got me distracted. No, that's not true. The S&P closed at another record high of 1618, up three today. And you had the Dow slipping about 5 points today at 14968. NASDAQ up 14 at 3392. And the 10-year yield, that's creeping up again, 1.77 on the yield. So, is the gold bull market tired now?
No, I don't think so.
I don't either.
I just see it as suppressed. That's all it is right now, and I don't mind. I mean, 80 cents down doesn't disturb me in the least. You know, it's triviality, really. The day itself, it's kind of remarkable. I'm looking at about 17 indicators here, and virtually all of them are just barely up or just barely down. It's really been just a flat day. It's almost remarkable how little activity there is in the markets. It's kind of unusual. You expect more spikes, something going up, something going down. No, it's all right about flat. I'm looking at indicators from paper markets, and the biggest one I see is 23 points out of 12,000. That's the biggest move I've seen in the paper markets, with the exception of Nikkei, which is 105 out of 13,000, almost 14,000. No, it's nothing's happening.
I think everybody got sleepy-eyed. You know, they had Berkshire Hathaway had their meeting this weekend, and you know, ever since I believe Friday and all day today, you know, they plastered Warren Buffett's face on you know, all the financial news programs with Bill Gates and, you know, all those guys, and it's just like, tire me out. But you know, you had the Middle East exploding. You'd think that'd have a little bit more of an impact on gold than what we've seen in addition to oil. Mm-hmm. And it's people are certainly sidetracked. They're distracted. And it's quite easy. Monday has lately it has been pretty much on par for having gold and the metals anyway a little bit to the softer side on Mondays, and then it usually picks up after Monday, and sometimes you'll see a little bit of softness on Fridays, but then for those 3 days, for whatever reasons, gold seemed to have a strong day. But that's what you have. It shouldn't be a surprise. That's what you have in a manipulated market. When the markets are rigged, it's the kind of trading that you get. You see a series of days like this, and if it was real trading, a real market, you wouldn't have that. So
they have to respond to reality. I mean, you can say the markets are rigged, and I don't doubt that they are, but they are not completely rigged. They are more influenced rather than absolutely rigged. They can make it move dramatically in one direction or another for relatively brief periods of time, and then the free market begins to reassert itself and grind back up to where it thinks it should, or at least in the direction it thinks it should be. And then they may jump in and manipulate, but their manipulation seems to be, it's time sensitive. It's like milk in the grocery store. It's got an expiration date on it, and they can only manipulate so much, and then they have to let it go and rebuild. It's bizarre and it's strange, but you watch it, and to the extent they have manipulation, I've said this for years, I think it's an encouraging thing. Because if the real price, let's just suppose for the sake of argument that the real price of gold right now on the free market was, say, $2,000 or even $2,500, but it's being held down to $1,470. Stop yawning, Melody. You have to learn. You have to learn if you're going to yawn during the program. You have to learn to either mute your microphone.
Boy, do you have a keen sense.
No, it's that didn't require anything keen at all.
I'm sorry.
Any case, my point is that the manipulation ultimately guarantees, from my perspective, it guarantees you're going to make money in gold. If the real price of gold was, say, $2,500 an ounce, and the free market was left to do what it wanted to do, and gold right now would be $2,500 an ounce, and it might be much higher than that, but let's just say $2,500, pick a number, and they have suppressed it and held it down to $1,470. It means that there's close to $1,000 guaranteed profit in gold if and when the manipulation finally runs out of gas and fails. And I operate from the presumption that the government cannot continue to manipulate indefinitely. Sooner or later, the manipulation must fail. And when it does, the truth will out and gold will jump up to whatever its real price is. The point being that by virtue of manipulation and artificially holding the price down, if you're prepared to invest and you're prepared to put money in and sit on it, you might have to sit on it. Who knows when we're finally going to see a true free market again. But if you can wait until that date, you're going to make a bunch of money. It's basically guaranteed. It's one, just for me, it's one of the reasons why gold is a solid investment. The manipulation can't last forever. When it breaks, price is going to jump. That's my reasoning. What else we got, Melody?
Well, we got a question in from Richard. He says, is there really a metal shortage with the paper market? Would they dare to short the paper market again if there is a shortage? And how would they cover?
Well, how are they going to cover the shortage they have right now? The only way they can cover any of this stuff is with more paper. Right? They have a problem, and this is inherent in suppressing the price. The only way they can suppress the price and hold it down is by trying to maintain an equivalence between paper gold and physical gold. Now, as long as people fall for the idea that the paper gold certificates that they're trading on COMEX are the same price as physical gold, the people that are in a position to issue these gold certificates can continue to hold the price down. They can continue to satisfy many of the demands by providing paper gold rather than physical gold. At least they can do it for a while longer, but it's like any other Ponzi scheme. Sooner or later, you have to run out of fools. Huh? This whole thing is based on the greater fool theory. I'm going to buy some paper gold because I know I can find somebody who's even a bigger fool than I am. It's the greater fool theory, and it holds true. We can buy stupid things as long as we are confident there are other people out there that are even dumber than we are. We can buy it from so-and-so and pay $100 for a particular piece of paper because we know we can sell it to some other idiot for $110. Is this a great country or what? But if you run out of fools and people finally say, I don't want any of that paper. I'm not going to pay $110 for that paper. In fact, I'm not even going to pay $90 for your piece of paper. That's when someone is left stuck with the paper. It's almost like playing a game of old maid. You wind up with that queen of spades in your hand and ta-da, you got a big problem. That's what most of our paper is. The question goes to how are they going to deal with this? And the truth of the matter is they can't, near as I can see. How are they going to deal with, they have been shorting gold, and it appears that they don't really have the physical gold. If someone says, look, I want the gold. I don't want to take your paper. I don't want to take a check. I want the gold. Because we know it's underpriced. If that catches, if and when that idea finally grabs hold and everybody says, okay, fine, sell your gold cheap and we'll take it and we want the gold. We don't want more paper. At that point in time, something radical has to take place. It may be that the government's going to pass some laws that affect the markets. It may be that major manipulators are going to go bankrupt. The whole thing might be concealed. Who knows? We'll have another war going on in the Middle East. It might course, but it's hard to say. You can get into conspiracy theories. But whoever sent that question, he understands, I think, that the end is near. How much longer can they maintain the charade? The price of paper gold, which is what we see on the markets, is the same as the price of physical gold. As that knowledge that physical gold is worth more than paper gold, and you look at it and say, there's somebody who's selling gold right now for $1,470 an ounce. And I'm looking at the markets, I'm looking at reality, and I think it's worth $2,000, maybe $3,000 an ounce. So I think I'll go to the market. Somebody's selling at $1,470, they expect me to just take paper, I'm going to take solid. Physical gold. And I think ultimately I'm going to profit handsomely. That's my impression on it. I'm not sure. Does that make any sense, Melody? Is it a halfway coherent?
Yeah, absolutely. And I personally, the way I see this, and you know, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, which I know you will.
Not necessarily. I don't necessarily correct you, Melody, but sometimes we do share the humor. It's not a correction, but it is with a little bit of humor, kind of leavens the loaf. Go ahead.
I believe that when we've had this big drop in gold like we saw, I do believe that it was basically a fire sale for these guys to come in there. Now, whether they couldn't cover contracts and they needed to buy product at a lot lower price is one thing. And I believe there's a lot of, I think when it comes to what the amounts are as far as shortages in the metals, I think that's a distorted picture of things. Not to say that it isn't real, but I think it is distorted. I also think there is a difference between a metal shortage and a product shortage that we're really dealing with what I deal with, the shortages of the Silver Eagles. And the reason those things become shortage is not because of the lack of the metal to make the product. It is just because it was the demand had been so strong and they just have to get caught up. It's kind of like if you have a tornado come into town and you have everybody is running to the grocery store to buy bread. It doesn't take long until that bread is depleted from the shelf, and then it takes for come in and get that bread rebuilt on the shelf. So this is what we saw, and it takes various triggers along the way that we've seen in the past of why we go through these periods of time where demand is so strong. We have to stick with the fundamentals. The fundamentals are real. They're facts.
Yeah.
They're true. That's why when I tell people what I believe we're going to see in gold and silver, it's based on those fundamentals, not what is happening in the paper markets, because ultimately the physical, that's what's going to rule the price, I believe.
Of course, that's the physical price of physical is going to be, and it's this false equivalence between paper gold and physical gold. I've seen reports that there's only 1 ounce of physical gold moving on the major markets for every 99 ounces of paper gold. There's a little physical gold that's moving, but most of it, the vast majority, is paper gold, and therefore what we see is the price of paper gold. We talk about, you mentioned when you began the last comment, you talked a part about a shortage of gold. Is there a shortage of gold? And the answer is, depends on the price. There's plenty of gold, depending on the price. Let's suppose we were selling gold for $10,000. Gold was going for $10,000 an ounce right now. There'd be plenty of people who'd be willing to sell their gold for 10 grand an ounce. The supply would be substantial. But at this relatively low price, the supply is limited because people are looking and saying, I'm selling my gold for $14.70 an ounce. I know some people are, and the market has to maintain that to go along with the paper gold. But some people who have physical gold are simply saying, I'm not selling at that low price. What I'm trying to communicate is there's not a shortage of gold in the sense that there aren't enough tons of gold. There aren't enough ounces of gold. There is a shortage of gold at a low price. At a high price, $10,000 an ounce, everybody would be selling their gold. You know? And saying, I won't say even everybody would, but a lot of people say, hey, I can't pass that opportunity. You know, I'm going to sell that gold for two. So it's a function of price. Shortage is not about how much we have. It's about how much is for sale.
Huh? And that is exactly why with the Silver Eagles situation, I've told people to wait.
Well, you know what you ought to do?
Let me finish. To wait, those premiums will come down. Mm-hmm. However, I did buy some Silver Eagles just prior to the program because I'm tired of turning people away, you know, because, you know, I know that many of my longtime customers, yes, they're coming back and we'll deal with them. The premium has come down a little bit. The Treasury pretty much today has fulfilled most of the orders. But there will still be, they didn't talk about any future orders again, so we'll have to wait till next Monday. But, you know, I think these premiums, if you're patient, will come down. But we did get some silver eagles today. I'm just, like I said, I'm tired of turning people away. If they want to pay that premium, all they have to do is call us at 1-800-375-4188. And out. All right. The break.
That's it. We're going for some commercial announcements. I'm here with, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. I'm not sure if Melody has or does not have a special today. She hasn't told me.
We're going to continue with the AU $5 Liberty Gold piece from Friday, $485. We still have a few of those left. It's a great buy, a lot of savings. It was $45 savings, and it's still a great coin for fractional coins, for bartering type coins, and also investment coins. And they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And you folks out there who want to pay, we do have the Silver Eagles available for you. They can give us a call at 800-375-4188. And, yes, Al?
No, go ahead.
Well, you know, Murray sent us an email, too. And it is something that we do forget. We don't mention enough on this program. He says, is gold a commodity and an investment or money? Answering that will go a long way in determining its relative value. We always say gold goes up or down based on manipulated fiat market. He likes to think that gold doesn't do anything. That's why he buys it. It's the fiat that goes up and down. And
I understand
true.
What he's saying.
Absolutely, Murray.
Yeah. But as for is it a commodity or is it a money or is it, did he say asset for the third choice?
Commodity, investment, or money.
Well, the answer is really, what? Yeah, but it's all three.
It's all three, but I think it's money first. I think it's investment second and then a commodity.
Well, what is money? You know, it's a medium of exchange for one thing. You can say that. And in that regard, Federal Reserve notes, legal tender, in that regard is money. But what's another element of money? And it is a store of value. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, there's the problem with the paper money. There's the problem with the digital dollars. There's the problem with legal tender. It is not a store of value. It is in a constant state of inflation. It's the reason why the price of the value of dollars have lost about 97% of their value since 1941 as compared to gold. There is constant inflation. If you had a dollar back in 1941, today it'd only be worth, in terms of purchasing power, 3-4 cents. And if you saved a dollar back then, you put it in a box, put a box full of dollar bills up on your closet shelf, and you had $1,000, $1,001 bills. You open that box today, and it will only have what, $30? I think so. Yeah, I think it'd work out to about $30 purchasing power as compared to $1,000 back in 1971. 40 years, basically. Huh? From that perspective, Federal Reserve notes are not money. They're currency. You can trade them right now. Okay, get a dollar today, spend it today. Okay, you haven't lost much. But if you get a dollar today and you want to save it for 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, guess what? You are going to lose your assets. That's what's going to happen. So it's the store of value. A lot of things. We can use corn cobs and buckskins and jugs of corn whiskey, and they have at other points in time in this country. We can use it as a currency. But none of them really store value. And that's where gold has it, all over the digital, the paper, yada, yada. Gold is a true money. Legal tender is a quasi-money. It's kind of a halfway money and halfway not. What else we got, Melody?
Brought a chuckle to us. The Securities and Exchange Commission, mm-hmm. the SEC, has decided to sue the city of Harrisburg for fraud, alleging that the officials in Pennsylvania misled the public about the city's financial condition, saying that back in 2009, city didn't tell folks about the financial problems they were having, and they raised a lot of money to upgrade a trash incinerator, and this was a big project. And,
a trash incinerator.
Oh,
if there's anything we can't stand, it's lying about trash incinerators.
But it cost the city, left the city with about $300 million in debt. And so it's funny that Harrisburg has agreed to settle the charges without admitting or denying wrongdoing, as you have with all SEC cases. And, of course, we could probably pick out how many cities out there has
committed similar acts.
Absolutely.
Who's telling the truth in government anymore? I can tell you, I don't know if this was a civil suit or a criminal suit. Do you know? They reference fraud, if I understand correctly.
It would have been the civil suit.
You think it's a
fraud?
Civil suit? Yeah, well, fraud is a criminal. It's a criminal act, so it may have been a criminal suit. But I can tell you what I would do if I was the city of Harrisburg and the federal government sued me for lying, right? I would civilly, can't do this criminally, but in a civil suit, I would counterclaim in a heartbeat, and I would sue the federal government for lying to the people of Harrisburg that the national debt is only $17 trillion, for example, or that the unemployment rate is only, what, 7.2%, or that the inflation rate is only, what, 2% or less? I'd sue them for lying. And you do a counterclaim, and the court has to hear the counterclaim before they hear the original claim. And whatever they're suing Harrisburg for, however much they want to sue Harrisburg for fraud, I would sue them for 10 times as much or for 100 times as much. Federal government, a counterclaim, and bang, let the jury decide. But see, if the jury, particularly if the case is heard in Harrisburg, because that's where the alleged offenses took place, at least where the case is presumably filed. I don't know if that's true or not. I'd like to see how a Harrisburg jury would respond to charges that the federal government has been lying to the people of Harrisburg and perhaps have an opportunity to take the feds for $100 million. Yeah. It's just absurd.
It is.
It's ridiculous. The government complaining about other people committing fraud. Please.
They didn't come out and say what the charges to settle the charges without admitting, so I don't know how much they paid, you know, but that's what the SEC does. I mean, look what they do to everyone, you know, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, well, you did all these bad things, so, you know, pay us a couple $1 million and you don't have to admit to any wrongdoing, and thank you very much, and we all get bonuses for the year. So, you know, there's no responsibility anywhere. No one.
I understand. It becomes almost comical.
Mm-hmm.
And on one level, it is comical, and on another level, it's ridiculous. We shouldn't put up with it. You know that? We shouldn't put up with it. So, what's next, Melody?
Well, how about the immigration reform? How much is it going to cost? I read that it's going to cost over $6 trillion.
Well, I don't have a number here in front of me, but a 2007 study by Robert Rector, assuming all undocumented immigrants were granted amnesty, said that the United States said the cost to the United States immigration reform would be at least $2.6 trillion. That translates into, a sixth, maybe a fifth of the size of our annual gross domestic product. He's probably talking over time, not in 1 year. But when asked if the Heritage estimate would be more than $2.5 trillion, Jim DeMint, he responded, it'll be much more than that. Now, what's wrong with this, Melody? What's wrong with it is that here we have illegal aliens breaking into this country, and we are not merely going to tolerate the invasion of illegal aliens. We are going to reward them for breaking the law. Right? Who do they think they are? Congressmen? Senators? Presidents? When do we get off where we are going to reward lawbreakers? And that's what we're doing right now. And my complaint is not with the illegal aliens. I don't blame them for, you know, if we're dumb enough where we won't protect our borders and we make things available for free to people that don't deserve them. I don't complain. I don't object to the illegal aliens trying to take advantage. What I object to is the federal government that refuses to protect our borders and now says, let's reward the lawbreakers. I've said it before. I've said it mostly facetiously, but it's not entirely a joke. The reason the government is willing to reward the illegal aliens for breaking the law and entering the country illegally is because, by and large, our Congress, our Senate, and our White House, and probably our federal courts, are a bunch of crooks. They have a natural affinity for other lawbreakers. The only thing that makes them nervous are the people in this country who actually think the law should be obeyed even by the government. And they don't want to hear it. They said, we're the government, baby. We're entitled to break the law. We're entitled to enrich ourselves. We're entitled to reward other lawbreakers. That's what government has become. Got to be stopped. And people should just be furious about this. This isn't a debate. You don't reward lawbreakers. It's that damn simple. If you want to reward these people, ship them back to Mexico and let them come in one by one, identify themselves when they cross the border and apply for citizenship or whatever. I won't say they can't come back ever, but I'm going to say it's crazy to reward, give, we're going to spend somewhere between $3 and $6 trillion on illegal aliens. What kind of a message does that send to anybody other than government is nothing but a damn racket? That's all. It's infuriating. Yeah. What else, Melody?
Well, actually, that was the report I was talking about by Robert Rechtert and Jason Richwine. And in the art, in their study, in their 103-page report, it does say $6.3 trillion that they would generate a lifetime fiscal deficit of $6.3 trillion.
I'm just reading from ABC Good Morning America, and they mentioned $2.6 trillion, but
well, whatever it is, but still, six is a whole bigger than two, and
well,
I'll tell you what.
I understand.
This is considered a minimum.
I understand that. It's like Obamacare. There's another one, another brilliant idea that's going to blow up in everybody's face. We'll just... Where do they suppose all this money is going to come from to reward these illegal aliens for breaking into this country? It's going to come out of the pocket, if it ever comes any at all. It's going to come out of the pocket from people who actually work for a living in this country, who are here legally. They're born here. They're raised here. They are being taxed into oblivion in order so some jackasses in Congress can provide rewards and incentives for people, Mexicans, to break the law. And once they do that, I mean, it's going to be another one of these amnesties where they say, oh, now we've given amnesty, but after that, we're going to really get tough. Bull crap. After they let the first 20 million in, they're going to let another 20 million in and then another 20 million, and it'll be the same crap every time. Someone needs to guard the borders. Instead of invading Afghanistan and Iraq and possibly Syria and Iran and God knows Libya and wherever else, put some troops on the border, stop the invasion, go through the cities, identify the illegal aliens, and ship them back. If you got to put them in boxcars and move them like Jews during the Holocaust, line them up and move them out. And when you do, there should be one congressman and one senator in every one of those boxcars and move them all to Mexico. Tell them don't come back, ever. What else, Melody? I didn't hear you yawning.
No, I wasn't yawning on that one.
All right.
But you know what? Folks, if you really want to see this report, again, it's 103 pages. It's a read it. It's very interesting. They do break it down, and they break it out and on the various benefits over the course of a lifetime. And it's a very good article by those two folks. You know, when you mentioned about, I didn't get a chance to look at it today, but I saw Pat Buchanan come out, and his latest article was if they approve this amnesty for these folks, that you're just basically wiping away the border.
I understand,
I mean,
and that's the object.
No,
they are trying. That's the object behind all of this. They are trying to create the North American Union. They want to unite Mexico with the United States, with Canada, and if they can't do it legally, they're going to do it de facto. By the time they get 60 million Mexicans up here, how are you going to separate this country from Mexico? And that's what they're attempting to do. It is treason. Every son of a bitch in the cat house on the Potomac who is voting to support this amnesty is guilty of treason. They are helping to destroy this country by refusing to protect the borders. They are helping to destroy this country. Every one of those sons of bitches should be charged with treason. And if they're found guilty, no wrist slaps. Hang them. Every one of them, congressmen, senators, presidents, take them down. Federal courts, take every one of them down. Treason.
Time. timing is perfect. We'll be right back, folks.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We have to talk about Obamacare, and we do have a Lloyd from Florida calling us. You want to take the call first, Al?
Yeah, let's take the call.
All right. Lloyd, hello. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Melody, and I just wanted to call in and congratulate Al for telling it like it really is, and we're all fed up out here, and it's not going to be long before something's going to be done about this situation. Thank you, guys. Good luck to you. Stay on the air. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lloyd. Thanks, Lloyd, for listening. We appreciate your comment. We especially appreciate you listening to the program. We got one here. Here's an article from the Washington Times. You know, you look at this stuff and you laugh at it. And again, you shouldn't probably laugh. You should just get angry every time you read this stuff. But this is just another example of what we've really got going for government. Here's the headline of the Washington Times: Senate Democrats fleeing Obamacare. And this is the Washington Times. They're no fans of the Democrats. I get that. It's pro-Republican. But this is the language that they use in the Washington Times. They say, like rats abandoning a sinking ship, Senate Democrats are furiously fleeing the coming disaster that is Obamacare. The exodus started quietly at first. Senator Max Baucus said last month he fears the president's signature health care reform law is quickly turning into a train wreck. How bad is it? The Montana Democrat, head of the Senate Finance Committee, and an author of Obamacare, has decided not to seek re-election. Why? Because Obamacare isn't yet up and running. The true effects won't be felt until 2014 and beyond. So Mr. Baucus will disappear into the night, a hero long before the nightmare comes. And just in the nick of time, when Obamacare passed the Senate on Christmas Eve 2009, Americans braced for the worst. But it's dragged on, and they explain a poll. They've got a poll. Kaiser Family Foundation found that 42% of Americans don't even know that Obamacare is already the law of the land. 12% believe the law has been repealed by Congress. 7% think it's been overturned by the Supreme Court. A whopping 23% said they didn't know enough to say what the status of the law is. What's more, just 35% held a favorable view of the law. The Democrats are trying to get clear of Obamacare because it's going to blow up. All right? It's going to fail. And that's just trying to get politically clear. Now, here's another here is another article. This is from Human Events, also a conservative publication, and the headline: Congress works to repeal Obamacare for themselves. Okay? They're not going to repeal Obamacare for all the people out there in radio land. Oh, no. You're going to pay through the nose. But here's what they say from an article that was in Politico. Congressional leaders in both parties are engaged in high-level, confidential talks about exempting lawmakers and Capitol Hill aides from the insurance exchanges they are mandated to join as part of President Barack Obama's health care overhaul. The talks, which involve Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid, House Speaker John Boehner, the Obama administration and other top lawmakers, are extraordinarily sensitive, with both sides acutely aware of the potential for political fallout from giving a carve-outs from the hugely controversial law to 535 lawmakers and thousands of their aides. Discussions have stretched out for months, sources said. A source close to the talks say everyone has to hold hands and jump or nothing is going to get done. There is concern in some quarters that the provision requiring lawmakers and staffers to join the insurance exchanges under Obamacare, if it isn't revised, could lead to a brain drain on Capitol Hill. Now, where would they find a brain to drain in the first place up there on Capitol Hill? But in any case, they're concerned that if they don't get out from under Obamacare, they won't have any smart people in Congress or aides and staffers anymore. What about us? What do? How are we going to get anybody to move into this country? If we need immigrants coming in, how will we get anyone to come into this country other than the idiots? All right? Will smart people come to this country? Will smart people stay in this country? Will they abandon Capitol Hill if Capitol Hill has to do Obamacare? Will smart people abandon this country if they're forced to do Obamacare? The problem stems from whether members and aides set to enter the exchanges, this is the insurance exchange again for under Obamacare, would have their health insurance premiums subsidized by their employer, in this case, the federal government. If not, aides and lawmakers in both parties fear that staffers, especially low-paid junior aides, could be hit with thousands of dollars in new health care costs, prompting them to seek jobs elsewhere. Older, more senior staffers could also retire or jump to the private sector rather than face a big financial penalty. Does anyone suppose that the big financial penalty they're talking about only applies to people in Congress? Only applies to their aides and staffers? Doesn't the big financial penalty also apply to the people who are working at McDonald's and the people that are working at General Motors and IBM and Ford and any other corporation you care to mention? The government is deeply concerned about the abuse, the big financial penalties that may be imposed on some people in Congress and some of their staffers. But they don't give a damn about any big financial penalty that's going to be imposed on all of you. They don't care about that. You people don't count. The only people that count to these jackasses is themselves and their staff. And here's the last line I'm going to read from the article. Plus, lawmakers, especially those with long careers in public service and smaller bank accounts, are also concerned about the hit to their own wallets. I am reminded of Senator Nancy Pelosi, who is explaining that you have to vote for it, and then we'll see what's in it. All right? Remember when they were passing Obamacare and she told the people that you got to vote for it? They hadn't even, the Congress hadn't even read, hadn't even had access to the damn law. And she said, you got to vote for it, and then you'll find out what's in it. Kind of like a birthday surprise. Well, guess what? They got their little surprise, didn't they? This is what happens when you vote for things without reading them. And now what they want to do is say, well, yeah, it's a stupid bill for us, but it's not bad for the public. Screw them. We'll let the public pay these big financial penalty, and that's the term used in this article. That's what they're concerned about. Congress doesn't want to pay a big financial property penalty. They don't want their staff to pay a big financial penalty, but they have no problem with all the rest of the jackasses out in TV land paying a big financial penalty. The whole thing is just insane, and it's another example of a bunch of crazy SOBs, irresponsible, treasonous whores for sale to the highest bidder, engaged in treason. And they sit there and they grin and they gloat and they get reelected. Like I said, we need box cars that are about 98 with 98 Mexicans and a senator and a representative in every box car and send them south. And don't let any of them back into this country. Take the Senate, take the House, take the President, take his staff, all right, and take the illegal aliens. Move them out. And this country will be dramatically improved.
Hey, Al, we got a caller from Texas. We have Robert on the line. Are you there, Robert?
Oh, I'm here. Yes. I love your show. I just wanted to comment on the amnesty thing. I was listening this morning, reading an article this morning on the amnesty bill. It's going to cost over $6 trillion for the U.S. taxpayers to do that. And, of course, you know, 90% of those are going to be illegal. And, I love you guys' show. I think that you guys are thinking the way middle-class America is thinking. And we just got to get the word out. We've got to change things up in Washington.
I understand. Well, we certainly appreciate your phone call. We're glad you're listening to the program. And you're right. You know, something's got to be done. You can't just sit here and giggle about it. Some of this stuff, it's so absurd, it's hard not to laugh at it. And I do. And I laugh at it.
Right.
And some of it makes you so angry that you almost can't. You almost can't afford to be as angry as you want to be because it's bad for your health.
Well,
but somebody's got to get angry.
Getting the word out there.
Somebody's
got to
get angry.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Appreciate your call. What else have we got, Melody?
You know, he said an important thing is getting the word out, and there's a lot of programs who talk about these topics and the problems that we face, and it is very important to share it with other folks and try to educate them. It becomes difficult at times, but in local elections, folks, you know, pick up those phones, local elections, pick up the phones. It has worked. Maybe it doesn't work all the time.
It's not just a matter of informing people and getting the word out. No. Well, I agree you got to do something, but what I'm trying to get to, the information is out there. But most of the people who embrace it think they are a minority. And because they think we're only a couple of us around, we better not say anything or all our friends are going to think we're kooks, we're crazy. Don't say anything. Shh. Because there's only a couple people who think like you. I had a study and I posted it on my blog just in the last week. And I don't remember the numbers precisely, but what it came down to is about 30% of two studies indicate that about 30% of the people in this country agree. They are sympathetic to, they are knowledgeable about and sympathetic to the very same ideas that we're trying to express on this program. We are not the lunatic fringe. We are not a handful of kooks. We are 30% of the country and growing who distrust government, who fear the government. We are not a tiny minority, and this is important and powerful information because people need to know that they're not alone. It isn't enough just to have, you get a little book, and it's the secrets of the universe. All right, you're the only one who has the book. You don't want to say anything about it because you think you're all alone. Wait till you find out that, look, 30%, one out of every, you got three neighbors, at least one of them agrees with you folks right now. And he is just as afraid to stand up and speak out as many of you are because he thinks he's alone. He thinks he's isolated. And in fact, about a third of the country agrees with what we're saying. And the number is growing. A couple more years, it'll be 50%, maybe more. The government has gone too far. People know it, but they need to know that they're not alone. They need to know that we are part of the single biggest movement that's taking place in this country right now, and it is the growth of people who are critical of government, opposed to government, distrustful of government, fearful of government. That's us, and we are not a minority, and we are going to make things happen just as fast as we understand that we can run this if we care to. All is first point, get the information. Second point, learn that you're not alone. Third point, start to stand up and act in concert. What else, Melody?
We got a quick question. The Kuwaiti Daily newspaper quoted sources close to Assad, reported that the Syrian leader had used Russian black channels or back channels to tell the Israeli and Damascus would react if Israel struck Syria again. Syria, they said, would consider any such act a declaration of war and would contemplate firing surface-to-surface and surface-to-air missiles at Israel. They also, the Syrian sources told a range of media outlets that Damascus had deployed a missile batteries aimed at Israel that could respond to any further Israeli actions. Are we at a point of no return?
I don't know that we're a point of no return, but, you know, I am a student of the Bible, at least. And, you know, it says people will holler peace, peace, but there is no peace. If you believe we're in end times, then there is not going to be a peaceful solution to the problem in the Middle East. And instead, things will just continue to careen to the left and to the right, to peace and to war, until we get into something that is really awful. I don't see a solution coming down there in any, you know, in the near future. And anyone who says there's going to be a solution, I'd say there's going to be war. So are we at the point of no return? We may have passed the point of no return, who knows, several years ago. I don't know. I do know we're out of time, though, Melody, so I want to thank people for the question. I want to thank all of you folks for listening. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. I'll be back with Roger Sales tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.